Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exhilarating episode of the GAA Zone podcast, the ultimate destination for all things Gaelic Athletic Association. I'm your host, Patrick Sharkey, and today we have a very special treat for you. In episode 58, we delve into the circle of a true GAA legend, none other than the remarkable Keith Higgins. Whether you're a diehard GAA fan or new to the sport, you're in for a captivating discussion. Keith Higgins, a name that resonates. Before we get into the interview, we're going to look at some of the big news in the world of Gaelic games since we last spoke. Starting in the Northwest, a man in his 40s has been arrested following a stabbing incident at an under-16 match in County Tyrone. PSNA patrolmen attend the scenes at the sports ground on Convent Road in Cookstown. Two people were pierced during the incident, one chap was taken to hospital and a second man received treatment at the scene. A fellow in his 40s was arrested and taken into custody for questioning. The PSNA appeal to any witnesses or anyone with footage. For more on the story, the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service confirmed it received a 999 call at 9:03 yesterday evening on Thursday. Cookstown Fava Rocks under-16 team were playing at their under-16 boys grade. Afterwards, PSNA remained at the scene late in Thursday night after responding to a report of a stabbing incident at the sports ground in the Cookstown Covenant Road area. Cookstown Fava Rocks Gaelic Football League believed it was working to support children. Witness incident, a statement added, following a very serious incident at Parraig O'Coolna Park this evening during an under-16 championship matches, our thoughts are with the individuals impacted by it. The committee will now work to ensure the children and young people who witnessed the disturbing incidents are very seen and the support and the assistance they will require in the coming days. The club will be making no further comment on this. Recreational footage captured by spectators shows a man being detained by officers for being taken away and questioning. There are no further details currently. Deal counsellor for OMA, Stephen Donnelly, said he was deeply concerned by the incident. My thoughts are with all the young people and children who were unfortunate enough to witness such a shocking violence, he included. Ex-RMA participant and SDOP MLA, Just McNulty, said it was a traumatic experience for those who witnessed it. Everyone is shocked here, hearing about this appalling incident at an underage GAA match in the Cookstown, he shouted. The GAA is the heart of so many communities, the length and breadth of Ireland, and people will be horrified for what is taking place here. Spectators, players and officials should be able to attend games and participate in matches. At county board level, Tyrone GAA says its thoughts are with all those impacted. Limerick have named Gerald Hardy a wingback with Kyle Hayes switching centre-back to accommodate the absence of Captain Dick Lannan from Thor's All-Ireland hurling semi-final against Galway. Moving to Dublin, the GAA are expecting 100,000 supporters or in the region of it to pass through Croke Park's turnstiles. Throughout his illustrious career, Keith Higgins has exemplified the very essence of what it means to be a GAA player. Hailing from the proud County Mayo, he donned the famous green and red, and we'll talk about it now. So we'll start with the football first there. And the championship started on a windy Easter Sunday, and then Roscommon came to Castle Bar, knocked us out of Connacht there. Like, so how was that? That wasn't the best way to start championship, was it?
No, absolutely not. I suppose, particularly from where I am in Mayo here, there's your two big rivals, Roscommon and Galway, particularly Roscommon, because they're only kind of a few miles out the road. So to lose to your biggest rivals at home in Castlebar, never a good start to any season or any competition. So I think especially coming the week after the league final, a lot of optimism around Mayo. Very good league campaign, looked to be playing good football. Eked out a win against Galway in the league finally, but probably didn't play as well as we could, but just came crashing back down to earth then fairly quick in that Roscommon game. So probably left a lot of people wondering where Mayo were at. I think that opinion didn't change then over the last few weeks. I think obviously a great victory down in Kerry, but Kerry were way off on the day. And then considering the last two performances against Louth and Cork. Like I said, Mayo people just weren't sure where the team were at. And I think any bit of optimism that was there from the league was probably gone, you know. So, yeah, a very kind of up and down type of year so far. But to go in and knock out, you know, games is always going to be cagey for a lot of it. And I'm a 1-point win, while it was perfect, you'll take it and you'll move on. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, so then you've had a 6-week break and it seemed to have done Mayo the world of good then. They went out to Killarney, first team to beat them in championship since 1985, I believe. So yeah, how good of a result was that for Mayo?
Yeah, it was huge. Like I said, it was coming on the back of that game against Roscommon. I suppose the one thing you were looking for there was probably the performance as much as anything. You know, I think if Mayo came out of that game and had played really well, but my last, you'd be saying, right, it was Kerry down in Killarney, you wouldn't have been awfully, I suppose, disappointed with it. But again, the performance was there, the result was there. So it was a real boost for Mayo. Now, I think looking back, I think we have to say that, like I said there, Kerry were way off on the day. They didn't have that bit of championship bite to them. They were really seemed leggy. Mayo seemed a lot sharper in their skills. The movement up front was a lot better, so it's a huge win that point of view. But I suppose again, looking at the Louth game then coming up after that, I was kind of concerned that maybe the performance might have come because they knew Louth were going to pack the defence, and in the time of Gale Park, that never leads to a good game of football. So they probably should have won that one by a bit more. And those concerns, like I said, then just kind of rolled over for the game against Cork.
Yeah, and now we move. Then they went to Louth there. So like Louth, as you mentioned there, like they ran a close and all the rest there. So was that when it all seemed like it was all kind of could have went pear shaped for Mayo that day? Or did they show their class that day?
I don't think that was the feeling that it could have gone pear-shaped. I think it was just more so, I don't know what you call it, complete like beat Louth at home. You know, I think they were, what, 4 points up, close enough to the end, or 3 points up, and Louth kind of took it back to a point. But I think what you were looking for there more so was just a matter of kind of closing the game out. Just hold the ball. Lee came out with the comments, you know, that win boring at times, and just do that. So they could see the game out, win by 3 or 4 points and move on, and there would have been no reaction to it. Like I said, what followed up then in Cork, just kind of the whole, those two performances in a row just kind of snowballed into a kind of a bit of, I suppose, not the word, look for, but maybe it was just been a concern, I suppose, then, and then to go again.
And then we move to the next game there. Like, so then Cork came to town there. Were Mayo a bit complacent? Did they not really expect Cork to really put it there? Like, I know it was a neutral venue, but I knew they were ready for either. So was it complacency, or were Cork just significantly better?
I wouldn't say Cork was significantly better. I'd say there probably was a bit of complacency at the end of the game. I think, you know, the narrative out there after the game was that Mayo can't play against the packed defence and all this, but like I said, the reality of that situation was they were 6 points up with 10, 12 minutes to go. So while they weren't playing really well, they were managing the game okay, they were attacking on the scores, building up the lead, and similar to the Louth game, 10 minutes to go, you just want to be seeing that game out. You know, pack your own defence, throw the ball, win that last 10 minutes by a point or lose it by a point, but Cork just kind of got that bit of momentum. Cork had to go for it. They kind of just threw off the shackles. They went for it. They kind of pushed up on the Mayo kickouts when they got a bit of pressure on them, or they got a run on them. And Mayo just weren't able to settle that game down and just put it off. But that was my kind of main concern after that. It was not the overall performance. It was just the way they, similar to that game, they didn't kill the game off for 10 to go when you're 6 points up. And again, I suppose we'll move on to the Galway game. We could say something similar again about yesterday.
Yeah. But then, yeah, now we move on to the Galway game, and Mayo really pulled it out of the bag there. So, like, how big of a statement was that there? Like, you know, sending last year's All-Ireland finalists packing, and the Connacht champions as well. Like, so, yeah, surely that sets Mayo up quite well for the rest of the season, beating them.
Yeah, again, you'd imagine so. I suppose the fact that it's week on week up until the next game would be a challenge for them. I think, again, if you're looking at it as a statement point of view, I think the biggest statement there was before the game, Kevin making those 4 changes, you know, Larlatis, who've been at 6 all year throughout the league, Matty Ruan, James Carr, Borgo Hora, those 4 players being kind of dropped, and new lads bringing in, that, I think that was the biggest statement of all, really. You know, we showed faith in Tommy to come in, showed faith in Jason Doherty and Kevin McLaughlin, guys who hadn't got a huge amount of game time all year. But I think that was the biggest statement, really, was he wasn't afraid to make the changes. Then, yeah, the game, like I said, kind of had this conversation last week, was when you're playing Pearce Stadium, the conditions do make a lottery of the times. You know, I've never played there, I've never done a game there, but there hasn't been a game for us win. And it was always going to be a case of who deal with that the best when they playing against us, maybe get those few vital scores and then kind of tie down people then to get the habit, you know. So that was going to be the big thing. And again, you look at that first half, Mayo were probably lucky that they didn't go in further behind. Well, people will kind of look at the 3 wides Mayo had at the end of the first half, but I think Galway had 5 or 6, if not more, wides in that first half. So it could have been a completely different game if Shane Walsh had nailed one of those, if Shane Keeney had 1 wide. Those guys had gone over and all going 8, 9, 10 points up to different games.
Yeah, and then we move to the game next weekend there. So like, it's 2 years obviously since Mayo ended the 6 in a row for Dublin. You know, Dublin have had a relegation since then, Division 2, like, but they've come back stronger. They've brought back Mannion, McCafferty, Cluxton and all the lads. So will this weekend Mayo do it again, or will Dublin just be too strong?
On week can be tough because you are kind of coming off the back of a big win, big elation after that. I suppose the fact that it is Dublin, it should be easy enough for Mayo to get up for this game again. They look forward to going to Goodwood Park and goes to a sellout, you'd imagine, being seen double header there now. So they look forward to all that. Again, with Dublin, I suppose it's just kind of nearly hard to know where they're at the moment. Again, their year they've mixed the very good with the very bad, I suppose. I think obviously the draw against Roscommon, they probably didn't perform very well. Now Roscommon can say that they probably should have won that game. Then at other stages of the year, they've looked very good and they've got some big scores. You know, you mentioned there, Mannion and McCaffrey back would be huge additions if they're fully fit. I think McCaffrey's been kind of in and out of the team since he came back. You know, Dublin haven't gone away. They're still a very strong team. But again, I suppose we just haven't seen the real Dublin yet or consistently yet this year. So it is going to be an interesting battle. But you hope in Croke Park, big crowd, it should make for a really good game.
Yeah, and that means, yeah, so before I move to hurling, I'll ask it, like, Mayo have had a lot of talented players this year. Which player do you think has been the best for Mayo this year so far?
You could go through them. I mean, you look at David McBride there yesterday, obviously this goal stands out, but I think he's been very solid in all his games. Jack Coyne has come in there, he hasn't got a lot of bonus, but he's just sitting into that cornerback position really, really well. But yeah, I suppose if you're looking for an outstanding player all year, I think you're probably looking at probably somewhere between maybe Jermer and Aidan O'Shea. I think Jermer again showed yesterday kind of how he's needed around that middle third of the team, the energy he brought. He was up and down the field, he was getting turnovers, he was supporting for an attack. Like I said, Aidan's probably got man of the match and how many games for him this year between league and championship. So he's been really, really well. I was surprised actually took him off yesterday when they did. What he would have needed for that last 10 or 15 minutes. They see if ball kind of had a little bit of an onslaught like they had. So I think you're probably looking at them two so far this year. Jordan Flynn has stepped up as well this year and kicked some crucial scores as well. But the real impact, you probably look at those two. But you know, in fairness to Mayo, when they have been good, it's been a mixture of players that have stood up for them.
Yeah. And then as well, like, so we moved to the hurling there now, and the Christy Regan campaign started with a loss to Meath by 2 points. Like, so was that really just set the tone for the rest of Crystal Ring, that their result?
I'd say probably the league probably set the tone for them. They had a relatively poor league, to be honest. I know they would have been targeting getting promoted from that league at the start of the year. You know, they lost to Drew at Roscommon the first in the game, probably should have won. Roscommon weren't going well at that time of the year. You know, there was issues with management and all that. Went up and lost from Manadet, I think, next. So, you know, from then, they were really, really struggling. They got a couple of wins then towards the end of it, all right. But I think the league probably set the tone for them, if I'm being honest. The Meath game was probably the first game or the only game where they had a full hand to pick from. I mean, Boland got injured that day. If he'd stayed on the pitch, they could have actually won that game. But from then on, they were just, you know, they were very unlucky with injuries. They were unlucky. There was a couple players due to come back that couldn't come back for various reasons. So they never had their full strength team for a full game, except for parts of that Meath game until Shane went off. So I think it was the league that probably kind of set the tone for them. And, you know, they lost to Meath a lot in the next day. In the last couple of games, they were always going to struggle to get a win there.
Yeah, yeah, and then the next game in the Christy Ring, it was pretty intense. Like, so there was it was the game against Tyrone, and Tyrone came out and won there. Obviously, it was, so the first home game, 117-222. Could have Mayo done better in a game like that?
You would be hoping they would have, especially at home. I know they had a decent start in the first half. I think they kind of conceded the goal just before half time. Those games, and no disrespect to Tyrone, but they're the games we should be winning at home anyways. Like I said, once you kind of lose, you know, the first game to me wouldn't have been make or break, but when you lose your second game, especially at home, you're under pressure then straight away for the remainder of the campaign. I think that was, you know, I mentioned the league probably set the tone for them for the year, but losing that game against Tyrone kind of really was, I suppose, nearly put the final nail in the coffin, as it just meant that they were going to be clinging on. They had no real hope of getting to a final at that stage. It was just a matter of getting results to stay up, and unfortunately that didn't come.
Yeah, and then London came to town and they went back over the water with 2 points, you know, 21-222, like, so certainly that's another game of, you know, ever so close but ever so far.
Yeah, exactly. not enough. The thing with London is, I suppose, you know, we've played them a couple of times over the last few years and we lost, I believe, one day in the league, and we've bet them a couple of times as well, you know, so never a huge amount in it. Sometimes you're just not sure which London team are going to travel, you know. And again, like I said about the Tyrone game, the fact that it had Castlebar should have been a big one for us, should have been a game we're looking really, really targeting and get a win out of that. And again, I think look at the game on the day, we're just going to die off again. That's kind of where the strength and depth of the panel probably caught us, you know. Once I said we're missing Shane Poole to an injury, Sean Regan wasn't there, Sean King wasn't 100%. Like Madison wasn't there that day. So for any kind of week counts, when you lose three or four, you're starting 15 and you're kind of beating into your subs, that's where the strength and depth comes into it. Fortunately, it's like I said, with the players that we're missing, that's kind of where we struggled. Unfortunately, we just weren't able to kind of build on that once we lost a few players and keep that level of consistency up.
Yeah, and then they were going to finish that campaign with two away games and just went up to Markovic Park, and Sligo just, whatever, there's been a hurling transformation in the last few years up there, and you know, you lost 226, down 23, like, so surely, you know, being down by 6 points with Sligo, surely Mayo hurlers feel they can be better than that.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, that's similar to London. We've played Sligo a lot over the last few years, and like you said, they have come on, leaps and bounds. Got a couple of guys in from Galway were there that strengthened their panel. Really good setup, and there was never much in the games we played, and we played them in the championship last year. And what we bet them on the end, again, it was a real dogfight down in Ballina, so there's never a huge amount in it. But I suppose, again, you go up to Sligo and you're coming the loss of about the 3 losses in a poor league campaign. Conference is kind of at the floor, really. And you know, when, like I said, again, up to 6 points in it in the end, but it was fairly tight all the way through. But I think, again, it was a lack of firepower, really, and the lack of strength and depth that kind of caught up with them. And the push came to shove, and the pressure came on the last 15 minutes, we just weren't able to kick on. And you know, obviously then going into the last game away to Derry, we're relegated anyway, so you know, it is very difficult for players mentally to get themselves up for that game. And look, again, you look at what Derry done the last few years, we're looking to beat them in the semi-final last year. They bet us very well in the league last year, so I think lads kind of knew what was coming when they went up there. Derry were pushing for a final spot, so, but like I said, the fact that we were already relegated, it was just very difficult for us to get themselves up for that game.
Yeah, I was going to go on that there, next point there, but say farewell there. And so who do you feel was the best young prospect that managed to break into the Mayo hurling panel this year though?
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you're looking at young prospects, I think Owen Delaney's been there for a couple of years. I think Oisín really wasn't, he was out injured, and he was a huge loss for Mayo. I think he can play anywhere on the pitch, backs or forwards. I think if they had him there again this year, he'd been a massive addition. So I think you'll hopefully be looking at the likes of him the next couple of years and build on what he can bring into the panel. You know, there's a lot of lads this year from some of the newer clubs in Mayo, from Montreux and Catchy Gales. And you know, I suppose it's just a matter of developing them lads as well and getting up to speed of intercounty hurling, you know. So look, there are some green shoots there. It's just a matter of building on it now. Back down to Nicky Rackard. You hope we can kind of get a good league campaign, put you on a campaign next year, we can build on that. So, yeah, but you have to be positive about things. You know, it's a bad year this year, but I suppose we'll probably discuss it again at another stage. But like I've already said, when teams at this level lose a few players and there's a injury, we just don't have that strength and depth to really kind of continue it on. So, that was probably the big issue.
Yeah, and then, like, out of the established players, who do you think played the best this year in the Mayo hurling panel?
I think you probably have to look at like David Kenny. Again, he came in from a long campaign with touring, the club scene, made captain, and I think he's made captain for a reason. You know, he kind of his spot there nailed down and wing back. Again, he does everything he does, he kind of just drives on by example. You know, I think Gary in the league then as well, he could have spoken really well. Shane Boland would have done well, I suppose, until he got injured, you know. So again, I go back to the injuries, and I don't want to keep using them as excuse, but if those guys were fully fit all the way through, we'd have had a better chance. But yeah, you know, you're looking at them three guys, I suppose, who were the real driving force forward this year. Obviously, Fergal Golan was back from the footballers. Again, given the tournament kind of long run, didn't have a kind of a full campaign with Mayo, which was disappointing. But again, he was around and he was fully on board. He'd make a huge difference.
Yeah, and as for the Nicky Rackard Cup next year, do you just think you can go straight back up there, or will it be a lot tougher now that you're down there?
You'd have to imagine the plan would be, the target would be to win it, yeah, absolutely. I think we've been there before. You know, you go back 2021, back to the final, obviously last only gone in 2020, narrowly enough. So, you know, while it is very tight down there, like I said, if Mayo can get their full panel of players together, I think they're well capable winning that league, Rackard and going up. But we need to keep everyone together. We need to make sure we have all the best hurlers talking out and making sure we have that kind of 17, 18, 19, 20 best players available to us all day, every day. To be able to weekend at the higher level.
Yeah, and then, so before we go and all the rest of it, so we were talking about both football and hurling there, like, and for any young boys or girls watching it, how important do you feel it is to play more than one sport if you're going to want to reach the top level when you're older?
I think it's huge. I think my philosophy always has been for children is just to let them play whatever they want to play, whether it's ball, hurling, soccer, rugby, basketball. Let them play with as many or whatever sports they want to play, and look, they'll figure out themselves what they enjoy doing. You know, you look at it from a scientific point of view, I think there's been numerous studies done that show that kids who don't specialise in one sport early are the ones who go on to have more successful careers because of developing different skills from different sports, developing that resilience as well. So yeah, I think from one point of view there, more sport kids are exposed to and have a chance of playing, the more skills they pick up, and yeah, it's definitely going to have a huge effect on them in the long run. So yeah, my philosophy is just let the kids play and let them do as much as they want.
Yeah, thank you very much then. Right, well, yeah, that was good. Thanks, Keith, there. And that wraps up our captivating interview with the one and only Keith Higgins. What an incredible journey he split with us today. After his early beginnings to his rise as a GAA legend, it's clear that Keith's passion and dedication have propelled him to great heights in the world of Gaelic Athletic Association. We've been given a glimpse into the triumphs and challenges Keith has faced. Before we go, I am going to predict the big game of the weekend. So yeah, we start in Croke Park, and I believe that Galway will engage in a fierce battle, showcasing their incredible skills and determination. With my prediction for the scale and score is Galway 120 and Limerick 123. Sure, I believe Limerick will come out on top with a narrow victory, displaying their prowess and ability to seize crucial moments in the game. However, I have no doubt that Galway will put up a valiant fight. Well, folks, get ready for an absolute cracker of a match. Concerning my prediction, I anticipate a high-scoring and intense counter between Clare and Kilkenny. Both teams are known for their attacking prowess and never-say-die attitude, which promises an exhilarating contest for hurling, with Clare winning. We have an intriguing showdown between Derry and Monaghan, battle it out for the All-Ireland minor title. At minor level, you know, these young talents will leave no stone unturned in their quest for glory. Because of the future stars of Gaelic football, in terms of my predictions, I envision a closely contested match with both teams displaying exceptional skills and determination. So, without further ado, my prediction for the final score is Derry 3-11, Monaghan 1-11. I expect a hard-fought battle with just a goal separating the two sides at the final whistle. The minor finals are often a showcase of the incredible potential and talent within the GAA. Derry and Monaghan have demonstrated themselves as formidable teams. This clash promises to be a riveting spectacle for all fans of Gaelic football. Of course, in the world of sports, surprises can happen, and it's the beauty. Indeed, we have an enthralling encounter as well coming out there, right? So on the horizon, as Dublin and Monaghan vie for their place throughout, you know, the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, and they'll get the final of the season. Both teams have shown their mettle throughout, but I see Dublin advancing. Indeed, we have a thrilling encounter ahead as Derry and Kerry square off in pursuit of a spot in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship final. Both teams have displayed exceptional skill and determination for the championship, making this a highly anticipated match. In terms of my prediction, I believe that Kerry will showcase their prowess and emerge triumphant in this battle. My prediction for the score is Kerry won by 9 points, with Kerry scoring 218 and Derry scoring 112. Kerry's fertile history, their formidable team, and their ability to perform under pressure makes them a formidable force. However, let's not overlook the resilience and determination of Derry. They have demonstrated their mettle throughout the championship and have the potential. Indeed, we have an exhilarating encounter ahead as Down and Meath battle out for the Tailteann Cup. Both squads have displayed their talent and determination throughout the competition, making it an exciting finale. In terms of my prediction, I believe that Down will demonstrate their skill and come out on top in this match. My prediction for the decisive score is Down 8-16, Meath 2-16. Indeed, we stand on the cusp of a very big game, which is an extraordinary showdown as Limerick and Kilkenny vie for the pinnacle of hurling glory in the All-Ireland Hurling Final. These two powerhouse teams have, however, four in a row awaits for Limerick. Indeed, we have a highly competitive clash in the cards as both Galway and Mayo face off in their LGFA quarterfinal. These two passionate teams will leave it all on the field, showcasing their fierce rivalry and rich tradition between these neighbouring counties. In terms of my prediction, I expect an intense and closely contested match, with both teams displaying their immense talent and determination meaning Galway's probably going to come out on top. Indeed, we have a thrilling battle also on our hands. As Armagh and Cork go head-to-head on the horizon in the LGFA quarterfinal, these two formidable teams will leave everything on the field, showcasing their skills, meaning Cork will win. Indeed, we have a thrilling encounter on the horizon as Kerry and Meath lock horns in the ladies' Gaelic football quarterfinal, and I think Kerry will have the edge this time. We have an exhilarating clash on the horizon as well, as Donegal and Dublin go head-to-head in All-Ireland ladies' Gaelic football senior quarterfinal. These two able teams will leave everything on the field, with Dublin winning. Before we conclude this episode, we want to take a moment to address our dedicated listeners and explain our recent absence from the podcast scene. We intensely appreciate your support and understanding as we provide an explanation for extended break. Around the past few months, circumstances have been on our control, led an unforeseen hiatus in podcast production. We faced technical difficulties and underwent a period of restructuring to ensure we could deliver the highest product content to you, our valued audience. Rest assured that during this absence, we remain committed to our mission of bringing you captivated discussions, interviews, and insights. Before we wrap up, we've got some exciting news to share with you. It's an announcement for all our dedicated listeners and fans of the GA Zone Podcast. We're simulated to introduce the GA Zone Fan Zone Prediction League, an opportunity for you to showcase your knowledge, expertise, and intuition between the outcomes of GA matches. The GA Zone Fan Zone Prediction League is a fun and interactive way to engage with fellow GA enthusiasts from around the world. Each 1 week, you'll have the chance to predict the scores, outcomes, and other match details of other upcoming GA fixtures. Before we conclude this episode, we want to take a moment to explain something unique about the acronym GA in our podcast, GA Zone. Though GA typically stands for Gaelic Athletic Association, we've given it to us and reimagined it as Gaelic All Around. Our assessment to redefine the acronym stems from our belief that the influence of Gaelic cultural and heritage extends beyond just the athletic aspect. The GA has converted an integral part of Irish identity, touching every facet of life, from language and music to community and tradition. In embracing the concept of Gaelic All Around, we aim to celebrate the encompassing nature of the GA, highlighting its impact on various aspects of Irish culture and society. We recognise the power way in which the GA unites people, preserves heritage, and fosters a sense of belonging. In the GA Zone podcast, we struggle to explore not only the athletic achievements and games, but also the stories, traditions, and spirit that make the GA such a vital force for Irish society. It's a manifesto where we delve into the diverse facets of Gaelic culture, welcoming discussions on language, history, music, and more. We invite you, our dedicated listeners, to join us in embracing the idea of Gaelic All Around. Let's commemorate the profound influence of the GA, not only within the realm of sports, but also in its wider cultural and societal impact. That's the essence of GA Zone, a space where we honour and explore the rich tapestry of Gaelic culture and its all-encompassing presence in our lives. That concludes this episode of the GA Zone podcast. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to stay tuned.